This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of hip anatomy from the Recon section on orthobullets.com. Let's start this episode with a quick overview. The hip is a ball and socket type of diarthrodial joint. As far as the stability of the hip joint, this is conferred by the bony architecture and augmented by the acetabular labrum and hip capsule. The acetabulum is formed by three ossification centers, the ilium, the ischium, and the pubis. The posterior superior portion has a thicker cartilage for weight-bearing purposes. Now, let's talk about the osteology, specifically of the acetabulum and the proximal femur. The acetabulum is anteverted 15 degrees and abducted 45 degrees with a caudal tilt. The acetabulum is divided into four quadrants. So with a line drawn from the ASIS through the center of the acetabulum, this will give you the anterior and posterior quadrants, and then a line perpendicular bisecting this line will give you the superior and inferior quadrants. So the posterior superior quadrant contains the superior gluteal nerve and vessels as well as the sciatic nerve. Keep in mind that this is the safe zone for screw placement. The posterior inferior zone contains the inferior gluteal nerve and the internal pudendal vessels. This is the second safest zone for screw placement. The anterior inferior zone contains the obturator vessels, however, this is unsafe for screws. Finally, the anterior superior quadrant contains the external iliac artery and vein and is also unsafe for screws. Moving on to the proximal femur, this can be divided into the femoral head, femoral neck, as well as the greater and lesser trochanters. In terms of the femoral head, the center of the femoral head should be at the level of the tip of the greater trochanter. The femoral neck is anteverted 15 degrees in relation to the femoral condyles, with a neck shaft angle of 125 degrees. Now, let's talk about the hip capsule and ligaments. So the hip joint capsule attaches anteriorly to along the intertrochanteric line. It extends posteriorly only partially across the femoral neck. Keep in mind that the basicervical and intertrochanteric regions are extracapsular. There are three ligaments associated with the hip joint capsule: the iliofemoral ligament, otherwise known as the Y ligament of Bigelow, the ischiofemoral ligament, and the pubofemoral ligament. The iliofemoral ligament, again also referred to as the Y ligament of Bigelow, is the strongest ligament. It is found from the AIIS to the intertrochanteric line. It is taut in full hip extension and prevents anterior dislocation / hyperextension. And the ischiofemoral ligament reinforces the posterior capsule. Other important ligaments to be aware of include the ligamentum teres and the transverse acetabular ligament. The ligamentum teres is found in the cotyloid notch to the fovea of the femoral head. The transverse acetabular ligament is found in the most inferior portion of the labrum and provides an anatomic landmark for reaming. As far as blood supply to the femoral head changes with age. So at birth to 4 years of age, the blood supply to the femoral head is the medial and lateral circumflex arteries and the ligamentum teres. At 4 years of age to adulthood, the posterior superior and posterior inferior retinacular vessels from the medial femoral circumflex artery supply the femoral head. It's important to mention that piriformis start nails can damage the posterior superior retinacular vessels and can cause avascular necrosis of the femoral head. In adult age, the blood supply to the femoral head predominantly comes from the medial femoral circumflex artery. Be sure to avoid transection of the quadratus during the posterior approach and damaging the medial femoral circumflex artery. The ligamentum teres is an arterial branch of the posterior division of the obturator artery to the femoral head and is not significant in adults. The abdominal aorta will branch off into the external iliac artery and the internal iliac artery. The external iliac artery will further branch off into the common femoral artery, which is at risk during screw placement in the anterosuperior quadrant during total hip arthroplasty. The profunda femoris artery is a branch of the common femoral artery, and the main branches include the lateral femoral circumflex artery and the medial femoral circumflex artery. The ascending branch of the lateral femoral circumflex is at risk during the direct anterior approach. The medial femoral circumflex artery is the major blood supply to the femoral head, as we previously mentioned, and is at risk during psoas tenotomy. Finally, the common femoral artery will also branch off into femoral artery perforators, which supply the vastus lateralis. Moving on to the internal iliac artery, this will branch off into the posterior branch of the obturator, which supplies the transverse acetabular ligament and is at risk with screw placement in the anteroinferior acetabulum and with acetabular retractors. The internal iliac artery will also branch off into the superior gluteal artery, the inferior gluteal artery, and the internal pudendal artery. The inferior gluteal artery supplies the short external rotators and the gluteus maximus and runs along the piriformis after it exits the greater sciatic notch. Finally, the internal pudendal artery will re-enter the pelvis via the lesser sciatic notch. Finally, the corona mortis will be the connection between the inferior epigastric branch of the external iliac vessels and the obturator vessels. Now, let's talk about some neurologic structures. So the lumbosacral plexus involves the T12 to S4 nerve roots and lies posterior to the psoas muscle. The sciatic nerve will have a posterior division and an anterior division. The posterior division contains the peroneal nerve, which is lateral in comparison to the tibial division. Keep in mind that the peroneal nerve is the most commonly injured neural structure during total hip arthroplasty, and remember that it runs deep to the long head of the biceps femoris. The posterior division of the sciatic nerve will also branch off into the superior gluteal nerve, the inferior gluteal nerve, the piriformis nerve, and the posterior femoral cutaneous nerve. The anterior division of the sciatic nerve will branch off into the tibial nerve, nerve to the quadratus femoris, nerve to the obturator internus, the pudendal nerve, and the coccygeus nerve. To learn more about the obturator nerve, be sure to go over the topic on orthobullets.com or listen to the podcast episode about the obturator nerve. The femoral nerve runs between the iliacus and the iliopsoas and has branches to muscle, overlying skin, and the hip joint. The lateral femoral cutaneous nerve receives contributions from the L2-L3 nerve roots and is a branch of the lumbar plexus. Keep in mind that this is deep to the inguinal ligament near the ASIS. Finally, the genitofemoral nerve is a branch of the lumbar plexus, and it pierces the iliopsoas and runs on its anteromedial surface. Now, let's go over some relevant musculature, specifically the hip flexors, the hip adductors, the external rotators, the hip abductors, and the hip extensors. So the hip flexors include the iliopsoas, rectus femoris, sartorius, pectineus, and iliacus. The hip adductors include the posterior adductor magnus, adductor longus, adductor brevis, and gracilis. The external rotators include the gluteus maximus, piriformis, obturator externus, obturator internus, the superior gemellus, the inferior gemellus, and the quadratus femoris. The hip abductors include the gluteus medius, gluteus minimus, and the tensor fasciae latae. Finally, the hip extensors include the gluteus maximus and the hamstring tendons, which include the semitendinosus, semimembranosus, and the long head of the biceps femoris. And you can learn more about each of these individual muscles in their separate podcast episodes, or you can review the topics on orthobullets.com or the Bullets app. Finally, in terms of approaches to the hip, the ones to be aware of include the anterior Smith-Peterson approach, the anterolateral Watson-Jones approach, the medial approach, the direct lateral or Hardinge approach, and the posterior approach, otherwise known as the Southern or Moore approach. You can learn more details about these different approaches to the hip in their respective podcast episodes, or you can review the topics on orthobullets.com or the Bullets app. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over one quick question to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic might be tested. When performing a surgical dislocation of the hip, the inferior gluteal artery should be preserved. Where can this artery reliably be found? And the choices are 1, along the border of the piriformis tendon, 2, between the pectineus and iliopsoas, 3, beneath the tensor fasciae latae, 4, underneath the gluteus medius, and 5, between the quadratus femoris and the upper border of the adductor magnus. The correct answer to this question is 1, along the border of the piriformis tendon. So the inferior gluteal artery, or IGA, may reliably be found along the border of the piriformis tendon. To quickly go over the incorrect answers, answer 2, between the pectineus and iliopsoas is incorrect, as this describes the course of the medial femoral circumflex artery. Answer 3, beneath the tensor fasciae latae is incorrect, as this describes a portion of the lateral femoral circumflex artery. Answer 4, underneath the gluteus medius is incorrect, as this describes a portion of the superior gluteal artery. And finally, answer 5, between the quadratus femoris and the upper border of the adductor magnus is incorrect, as this describes the deep branch of the medial femoral circumflex artery. To quickly review, in a majority of hips, the main blood supply of the femoral head is from the medial femoral circumflex artery, or MFCA. However, the inferior gluteal artery has been found to be the primary blood supply to the femoral head in up to 17% of patients. It should, therefore, be protected, especially when treating posterior hip dislocations and acetabular fractures. The inferior gluteal artery is a terminal branch of the internal iliac artery. It can be found along the piriformis tendon and exits the pelvis out the greater sciatic notch between the piriformis and coccygeus. Calhor et al. Performed an anatomic study to define the blood supply to the femoral head. They found that the medial femoral circumflex artery was found to be the main blood supply to the hip in a majority of hips, but that the inferior gluteal artery was the main blood supply in 17% of hips. They also found that the foveal artery provided no significant vascular contribution in any specimen. They concluded that in order to reduce the risk of avascular necrosis, the inferior gluteal artery and the medial femoral circumflex artery should be protected during surgery. Gautier et al. Performed an anatomic study to determine the anatomy of the medial femoral circumflex artery. They found that the course of the medial femoral circumflex artery was constant in its extracapsular segment and that it perforates the joint capsule at the level of the superior gemellus, then runs along the posterosuperior aspect of the femoral neck. They also found that the obturator externus protected the medial femoral circumflex artery from being disrupted or stretched during surgical hip dislocation. That's all for this review about hip anatomy. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website or mobile app while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Also, if you aren't already, be sure to follow OrthoBullets on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for daily high-yield content. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow right here on the OrthoBullets podcast.